As I go over this seven verses several times that we are going to study, there's so much meat into it, it's hard to go which direction, how to figure out which direction I should go. But one thing important when we do the Bible study, we have to stay in the course. What is the main course? What was the main theme of 1 Peter? Any of you remember? Two words. What was the first theme of the 1 Peter? Very good. That was you. He cheated. Very good. Living hope. Within that idea, we have to study. See, whole book is written for those who are discouraged. Whole book is written for those who are in despair. So when you think about it, and now part of the portion that we are going to study, the portion we are going to study is helping that living hope, encouraging us to have that hope, living hope, with what? Unity in Christ. Unity in love through the Word of God. That's the title, Unity in Love Through the Word of God. Mark chapter 3, verse 25, I'll just read it to you. If the house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. How many of you guys remember the bumper sticker saying, United we stand? That's a very common bumper sticker just about everywhere you go, you see it. And why? Because ever since 9/11, we realized that we have to stand together. And we heard the phrase, United we stand, we divide we fall. Simple phrase, seems like a too common sense. However, that has a truth to it. Within the Christian realm, we have more than the fight against enemies. Mark Twain, American writer, did an experiment. I don't know if this is true or not. He put the dog and cat in the one cage. See what happened. And a bit of adjustment, and they got along well. So he put three more animals. Bird, goat, and what else he put it in there? Pig. All five of them, eventually they start to get along just fine. I don't know quite sure about the cat and bird. Anyway, this is where I don't think this is true. He put the Presbyterian and Baptist and Catholic all in one cage, and nothing left surviving in that cage. And some of you guys love peanut cartoon comics. Of course, that has a lot of truth to it. And one day, Lucy walked into the room while the Linus was watching TV. And he said, change your channel. And Linus said, what makes you think you can just walk right into this room and order me to change the channel? And she stepped over to him and she said, see this fist? Individually, they are just little fingers. They cannot do anything. But when they form together, it becomes formidable to be behold. Get that? And Linus said, which channel would you like to watch? And he turned around, stepped over to the TV, and while he's changing channel, he's looking at his fingers and like said, why don't you guys get organized like hers? See, the moral of the two stories is if we get together, they can fight. If we divide, and we are literally open season for Satan to take us. Remember a few weeks ago when I came back with such excitement from the missions conference? After I told you about the visions that God laid in my heart and in Barry Smith's heart, and then what kinds of things did I say to you? Warning. And one of the warning was, stay at your feet because Satan will come against our body and try to divide our body, dismembering our unity in Christ Jesus. It is commonly known that among the Christian, we shoot our own wounded. This is a rather pathetic story. Just to be on the side story. One of the Calvary Chapel pastors fell. I believe it was a year before last year. He fell miserably. He had a church of 1,000 people. When I met him many, many years ago, I kind of thought he's cocky. But then again, we have a tendency to be cocky in one way or another. So I didn't think much about it, but I didn't get to meet him a whole lot either. And then I heard the story that he fell. He had an affair with one of the worship team young lady who is about his daughter's age. And embezzled the money and took off. Because his bad behavior, church was hurt, church of 1,000 people were hurt, and see, one thing they forgot was not only the 1,000 people is a victim, also his wife is a victim too. She had no idea this affair was been going on for many years. And when she wanted to come back to church, elders told her, some people have a hard feeling toward your husband, so don't come back to our church. Not that. Why don't you just pull the gun out, blow her head off? It would have been easier to put her out of misery. Ladies and gentlemen, don't think that there's some other city's story. It happens in Green Valley. It happens in Sarita. I'm praying to God that we don't do that kind of stupidity. And tell you what, this is my promise. I've been promising a lot of things. If any of you do that, if I do that, we need to repent right on the spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, please. Heavenly Father, as we open our heart, as lay down before you to receive you, your word, speak to our heart. Let us not shoot our own, but let us shoot at our enemies with the truth of God. Teach us so that we may stay in unity and love based on the Word of God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 22 of chapter 1, 1 Peter. Since you have purified, underline, have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I actually underline purified. How do we purify it? Again, the Word of God just explained to us in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of brethren. That's one of the ways to purifying our heart. Obeying the truth. You know, come to think of it, there's no other way. When we obey the Word of God, naturally it will purify our heart. It's a very simple concept, but we try to make it very difficult. Let me rephrase it. I do not have a problem with working together with other churches. Different denominations, that is. For example, if we had worked together against abortion, I'm all for it. But I do have a problem if somebody said, let's just get together no matter what. Ignoring the basic principle doctrines of Christianity for the sake of unification of Christianity, I do have a problem. Why? Because there are some churches, some denominations completely ignoring many elements of Christian doctrines, such as inerrancy and infallibility of Word of God. That's a fancy word for inerrancy, means no error. Infallibility, that means possibly there won't be any problem, any fault in the Word of God. That means that everything the Word of God says is true, we should take as is. And some denominations say that a virgin birth is not really true. Or they try to ignore the deity of Jesus Christ. If that's not bad enough, they try to ignore the sovereignty of God and atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. If we subtract all of those, what do we have? Nada. Nothing. Zip. Might as well be a social club. Again, this church is not social club. If you come to here to hang with some people, let me recommend you to find some other place. This is not place to come hang with the people. Yes, it is good to have a fellowship. That's not the main purpose of this church. Being equipped with the Word of God so that we may spread the Word of God to other people and taking other people to heaven, to Christ. This church should be a life-saving station, not social club. You follow me? Once we start changing our attitude, our mentality to from the life-saving station to the social club, we are doomed. We might as well shut the door and quit my job and go back to work somewhere. We should not have that kind of mentality. When some of the denominations have that mentality and try to ignore the deity of Jesus Christ and humanizing God and deifying human, we would not have anything to do with them. And somebody might say, well, you Calvary Chapel, you're so obnoxiously lone wolf. So be it. But I'm not a lone wolf. You are not a lone wolf as long as we follow the Word of God. If as long as we can be with the God, who can be against us? I'd rather have a God behind me than 100,000 people behind me and support me. So that is a very important fact. We have to have a unity based on what? The Word. The Word, the Word, nothing else. We can have a unity as long as we stay in the course of the Word of God. Let's go to verse 23. Verse 23, where am I? Okay, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides in forever, because all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the Word of God, Lord, endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. God does not want us to be exactly the same altogether. If He wanted us to be exactly the same, He would make us in all the same mold, like a cookie cutter. Kind of look around in this room, please. Do you see anyone look same? I know you guys thinking, yeah, you cooks all look alike. I know I look like a Jackie Chan, some of you think that. But actually, we look a little bit different. Some of us has a little more slant eyes. And then some of them has actually button eyes, and actually my eyes are rather bigger than most of people. See, God uses the difference in our part to talk to us individually different way, but yes, there's a unity. How can we have a unity? See, the word we read is the word born again. Born again means born from above, to be exact. First appeared in John chapter 3, verse 3, and appeared again in John chapter 3, verse 7. And here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Born again word is commonly used nowadays, however, it was rarely used during that time. Means spiritual birth. We all know that. Natural birth, the physical birth, bring corruption. Whatever happened, whatever civilization or the culture, whatever the thing we built with our first birth, our physical realm, do not have an eternal result. They all die. Have you ever seen any, or do you know any civilization last all this time? Rome, Greece, Babylon, you name it. From the Tower of Babel in Genesis to the last civilized culture that we see in Babylon, great nation Babylon in Revelation. They're all made out of flesh, and they all destroyed. However, as long as we do this in spiritual realm, it will stay. If we try to build unity in our own physical way, that church would not last. You may see it's doing just fine. Some of the mega churches we see in America are made out of flesh. I can name few. You might think about the same thing I think about. They look great. They even have a beautiful building, flourishing. Yet their spirits are dead. Why? Because they do not have Holy Spirit in their heart. Even though they received Holy Spirit in their heart, they do not dwell with Him. Jesus is not asking us to be uniformity, yet He wants us to be unity. He didn't want us to be sameness, but yet He wants us to be oneness. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Keep your finger in 1 Peter because we got to go back there. John chapter 17, verse 21. John chapter 17, verse 21 through 23. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Again, let's think about the disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke is before John chapter 6, verse 13. If we are the one who is choosing disciples, I wouldn't choose these guys because they cause nothing but the problem. Let's look at the names of the disciples. And when it was the day that he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealot, Judas and the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. What a combination! From fisherman to tax collector, one who worked for the Roman government, and there is a guy who is a zealot against the Roman government. Can you imagine fight within them? And of course, we all know that they argue constantly and wanting to find out who is a numero uno, who is the top dog, big kahuna. They're always comparing their stick to against another person's stick and try to figure out who is better. Even though God used this odd combination of people, he used them because he used them with the Word of God, and he turned the world right side up. Now, how we are going to figure it out? Unity is not self-seeking. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. Therefore, laying aside, you know what? Just keep your finger right. Verse 1, we're going to go back. Then let's go to the verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or the conceit, but in lowliness in our mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, it sounds like what he's trying to say, to share. Don't be so selfish, like in the kindergarten. Can you imagine if all the Christian grown-ups act this way, sharing with one another, not being selfish? Do you think we can reduce marital problem? Do you think we can reduce family problem? Do you think we can avoid church split? Yes. The answer is all yes to all three questions. Now, we are going to study very extensively regarding marriage in a few weeks, because 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about husband and wife's role. And don't think that I'm going to just skim by. This is Bible study. We dig in. We're going to dig in. So if you have a problem with your marriage, stay at it. If your marriage is doing well, stay at it. We're going to study real hard on that portion. It might take a few weeks to go through all of that. So how we are going to unify, how are we going to work together? But there is a tool that Satan used against us. It's very effective, and it works very well to destroy the Christian assembly. We find verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, that's number 1, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord's graciousness. Lord is gracious. Let's look at them one at a time. Malice. Greek word is in general word for the wickedness and that characterize you unbelievers entrenched in the world system. They don't care if they hurt you. It's understandable for the non-believers to have malice against one another. And they don't feel even ashamed about their bad behavior or lawlessness. However, problem is that we act like non-believers. We try to hurt each other without shame, without remorse, without repentance. That's a problem. Second thing we find is deceit. This is a rather unique word. When I did a study for the Greek word, it means two-faced or trickery. And coming from the word delo, D-E-L-L-O, and it meant decoy. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Deceit and decoy. The root word coming from to catch with the bait. So what it does is putting the carrot in front of our nose and make us to do something that we are not supposed to do. We've been deceived. How we've been deceived? Promise something that we should not have and something we should not take. We're being deceived by Satan. And problem is, we accept his deception without thinking. Third problem. Hypocrisy, Greek word means to act apart and hide behind a mask, appear to be someone when we are not. You guys know the group named DC Talk, Christian group, DC Talk. They do the rap, doing this, Jack's favorite music. Hypocritical, the Christians are the main source of an atheist because their unmatched word and action. That's one of the this talk members said. How true. How many of us heard a non-Christian says, I don't want to go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. That's right. If we say the things that doesn't match with our action, we shouldn't label ourselves as a hypocrite. In a way, we all are. Do you agree? We say something, but yet we don't do the things what we said. Envy. This Greek word involves hidden resentment for somebody's advantage. When somebody's doing well, instead of being happy for them and rejoicing with them, guess what? Huh? They call their lives and then get upset with them. This happens often in Christian realm. Do you agree? Within the Christian realm, among the pastors, to my surprise, some of my pastor friends, got upset with me because our church is growing so fast. I thought, is it a territory issue? What's the problem, man? You should rejoice that the kingdom is growing instead of being upset with that. All right, you worked there for many years and then we only did for 14 months, 15 months, and we are in the same size or bigger size than your church. Is that anything got to do with me? Nothing. It has everything to do with God. Doesn't mean he's any less man of God than I am? Absolutely not. God gives 10 talents to the one man, 5 talents to the another man, and 3 talents to another man. Why? I have no idea. Why does Robert Fuller in Calvary Tucson has a 5,000 congregation, and there's another godly man, equally godly man, has 20 people and never grew up to be more than 50 people in his lifetime. Is something wrong with that man? Absolutely not. That's what the sovereignty of God says. You have 20 people. Take care of your ship. Robert Ford, you have 5,000 people. Take care of your ship. I don't want to be accountable for 5,000 people's lives. If that's what the Lord has in mind, I'm sure he will make me do it. If this is all we have, so be it. My job is to equip you guys not to count ahead. So each of us has to have a clear mindset. We should not envy one another. Do I envy? Yes. I like to sing like a Mark. Do I sing? No. When I sing, I punish other people, I entertain God. Hey, So my envy should stop just wishing for that I have better voice instead of going overboard. Nothing wrong with wishing for something, but when that thing becomes a resentment, we do have a problem. Evil speaking, slander, or gossip. There's nothing more juicier than church gossip, isn't it? Instead of praying for that person or doing things right according to Matthew 18 as we studied, go see that person, and if that person doesn't repent, take somebody with you. That person still doesn't repent, take it to the church. They still doesn't repent, and we're being like a heathen or tax collectors. That's what the Word of God says. Instead of following that sequence, what do they do? What do we do? Under the name of praying intelligently, we spread the word with a little extra flavor added. Slanders, evil speaking, a no-no. It's one of the things God hates most, mentioned in Proverbs chapter 17. Don't call me on that thing, I forgot. Evil speaking, slander is it's not a good thing to do. It's a typical backbiting way. These are the five things Satan used to destroy the unity of Jesus Christ. And he is using it very well. Make an application. Let's go back to the verse 2. So, what can we do? What can we do to keep the unity going? This is how. As a newborn babe, desire pure milk of the word, and that you may be grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Only one way to keep the unity going among Christians is love. Love covers multitude of sins. This is the exact phrase I quote when I was warning you guys about devil's attack. And devil's attack indeed came because the love for one another, it had been a problem, is solved without any incident. Does it mean devil's going to stop attack us? Are you kidding? Do you think he's that easy to get off? No. He will come for more. This time he will come in a different way. Remember, unity in Christ should be based on the word in love for one another. Otherwise, we might as well pack up. One more thing. Please remember, this is not a social club. This is a life-saving station. We cannot have anything less than that. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let us put your word in our heart and live according to your way. Let us not be a hypocrite. Let us not be the one who is doing evil speaking to one another, against one another. Let us not bring up the malice, nor the deceit, nor hypocrisy. But let us love one another, encourage one another, and pray for one another so that we may be healed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jack, would you come on up, please?